Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
On Valentine's Day of 1992, I was a 23-year-old wannabe musician living just outside of Redding, California. I had a part-time job at an auto shop 3 days a week, one that I had to get up at 7 a.m. for, and that year, Valentine's just so happened to fall on a Friday, which meant that I had to work from 8 until 3. But I'd also promised my then-girlfriend that I'd treat her to some special Valentine's Day dinner, complete with gifts and trip to the movies. Meaning that I had around 1.5 hours to get home, freshen up, pick up all my girlfriend's gifts, and then pick her up at work on time. I wasn't looking forward to doing all that rushing around. I was kicking myself for not being more prepared, and I remember driving to work hoping that I might be able to clock out early or something. But then, when I show up at work, all the shutters are down and my boss's truck is nowhere to be seen. I figured that he was probably running a little late, which was way out of character for him, but I didn't immediately assume anything was wrong or anything like that. I just stayed put in my car, leaned back in the seat, and tried to catch a little extra shut-eye until I heard his truck roll into the lot.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Next thing I know, I'm catching myself falling asleep, and when I open my eyes, it's almost 8:30 a.m. I've been sitting in that parking lot for almost 35 minutes, and my boss, who practically lived at the auto shop, just hadn't shown up for some reason. I had his home phone number written down somewhere, but this was in a journal back at my apartment, so instead of just sitting there like an idiot, I drove back to my apartment and gave him a call on my home phone. There was no answer at his place, so I left a message on his machine, then basically kind of just sat there, not knowing what to do. On the one hand, if my boss was sick or was off doing something and hadn't planned to open the shop that day, then it was no big deal at all. In fact, it was a blessing, because I had time to go buy my girlfriend her gifts and whatnot. But then no one called me, and I felt like I'd have known if we were going to be closed that day, because I wouldn't have been all stressed out about the time. So instead of doing just nothing, I decided to give one of my coworkers a call, just to make sure that we weren't opening like an hour later that morning or whatever. But then, he says the same thing. He hadn't gotten any calls, and as far as he knew, we were opening up at the regular time that morning. I then tell him about showing up to a shut shop and our boss not showing up even though I waited a while. I remember how there was a bit of a pause on the line as my coworker thought it over for a few seconds, and then he asked me, "Are you free to do something right now?" I obviously didn't have anything else planned, but then I also wanted to know what he was about to ask me, so I told him something like, "Maybe. It depends on what that something is." It turns out all he wanted to do was head over to our boss's house to see if he was okay. And since I figured that it'd take minimal time at best, and was definitely the mature call, I agreed to head over there with him. About 10 to 15 minutes later, he pulls up outside my parents' place, honks his horn, and I run out and jump in his passenger seat. My coworker seems kind of tense, but other than that, we're still just two dudes on their way over to check on our boss. 'Cause like I said, not just showing up for work like that was way out of character for our boss. and the drive over to his place takes maybe 20 minutes, long enough for my coworker to get pretty worried, I think. I was still kind of looking on the bright side at the time, thinking maybe we might get the day off or something, and I suggested to my coworker that on the way over. He shot the idea right out of the sky, though, saying that the auto shop was our boss's life, how he only ever took Sundays off, and how if he was sick, he would have 100% called us to let us know and probably run things ourselves. And by the end of his little speech, I felt like a total jerk for even thinking about a day off and was glad that I'd taken him up on the whole checking in on our boss thing. So, a few minutes later, we're turning off onto the road that our boss lives on, and although the houses aren't exactly huge, they're all nicely spaced out with privacy fences, big green hedges, and all that kind of stuff. We get to the house that belongs to our boss, and the moment we pull into the driveway, both me and my coworker get this really bad feeling, because our boss's door is just wide open and his truck is nowhere to be seen. I remember we both sat there on our seats, not saying a word, just looking at that wide open door. It wasn't some big red flag or anything, but that level of worry definitely got ramped up just a little more. Just not nearly as much as when my coworker reaches over, opens up his glove box, and pulls out a gun. I'd grown up around guns, so seeing one didn't freak me out or anything. It was the implication in that moment that had me afraid. I think I knew why he pulled it out too, but at the same time, I asked him what the heck was going on. My coworker told me to wait in the car, which immediately had me thinking, why the hell did you ask me to come along then? But then it hit me. He needed me there, just in case anything happened to him. He left his keys in the ignition, told me to shift over to the driver's seat, and that if he didn't come out in 5 minutes, to drive off and get the cops. I think up until that point, I'd never known what it meant to be truly terrified. I mean, I'd been afraid of all kinds of things, getting rejected by girls, getting picked up by the cops with some weed on me, or getting jumped on the way home from school. But I only think the word terror or terrified applies when there's a legitimate danger to human life. When my coworker got out of his car and walked towards our boss's house, there was a chance that he might never walk out again, and that was truly terrifying to me. It did occur to me that he could have been slightly overreacting, but by that point, he was already out of the car. And maybe that was wishful thinking on my part, my brain's way of doing a little psychological damage control. But either way, I watched him walk into the house, gun drawn, not knowing what the hell was about to happen. A few minutes later, my coworker comes walking out of the house, and he only makes it a few steps off the porch before he doubles over and starts puking. And that's when I knew at that moment that our boss was dead. Or at least that there had been some kind of dead body in there or something. Nobody just walks out of a house and throws up unless they've seen something truly messed up. And honestly, right then in that moment, I was really glad that he told me to sit in that car and not follow him into the house. The second he started to puke, I got out of the car and started asking what the hell was inside. And just like before, I think I already knew what he was going to say on some level, I just needed to hear it from him. He never said exactly what it was. He just told me our boss was dead, and that we needed to hang around and wait for the cops because he'd just called them on his home phone. I remember standing there behind his driver's side door, probably with some dumb, stupefied look on my face. I'd never been in a situation like that before. Never even anything approaching something like that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
It sort of didn't feel real either, like it was real for my coworker because he saw it, but for me, I don't know. It's like I wanted to see what was in that house just to confirm it wasn't some elaborate prank or something. But then, unless my coworker had just delivered an Oscar-winning acting performance, unless the entire morning had been some elaborate setup, what was happening was real, and I sure as hell didn't want to see what had made my coworker empty his guts out. I didn't know what else to say, so I asked how our boss died. And my coworker was still wiping his mouth on his t-shirt and spitting out the last of his puke when he told me in a very nasally voice, "Murder." I repeated back to him, "Murder?" Because I just could not believe what I was hearing at that moment. I thought maybe it had been some kind of accident, and unlike my coworker, I didn't immediately conclude that there was some kind of human threat involved. Hell, one of the first things that went through my head when my coworker said our boss was dead was that he had taken his own life. He could have blown his own head off with a shotgun, which sure as hell would have made me puke if it had been me walking in on the aftermath. But when my coworker said murder and nodded when I turned the word back on him in a question, that was the question of how did he know it was murder? I only asked one more question of my coworker that morning before the cops showed up. I mean, that was the one that I just asked. How could he be so sure that it was murder? The answer that came back is one that I'll remember for the rest of my life. He's taped to a chair. Not long after that, the cops did show up, by which point my coworker had put his gun back in his glove compartment. And we both talked to the cops for a minute or two, then one of them went inside the house to look around. He came back out a minute or two later, not puking, but definitely shaken. We talked to the cops a little more, gave them our contact info, then after that, we were told that we were free to leave. I remember wondering what was going to happen over the next few days, and when I asked my coworker what we should do now, he told me, file for unemployment. I asked him if we should get lawyers or something, if the cops might think that we did it or something, and he told me that he didn't think that it'd be necessary. He was right about both. The cops only got in touch with us once more, and the auto shop took years to find a buyer so it could reopen. But to me, that was just small stuff. I could find another job, and I did, pretty easily actually, but we both still wanted to know what had happened to our boss, or more accurately, why it had happened. Which, as it turned out, was bizarrely easy for the cops. So remember, I said our boss's truck was missing when we showed up at his place. Well, it had been stolen by these two drug addicts who had the bright idea of doing a little home invasion on Valentine's Day Eve. They'd heard, very inaccurately, that our boss was loaded, and that he had a bunch of gold bars or something stashed away in his house. He didn't, and he tells them that, but they didn't believe him. So they taped him to his computer chair, took off his shoes and socks, and began torturing him to get him to fess up. Obviously, he didn't have anything stashed away, and apparently he even offered to take them to an ATM so they would at least stop burning his feet with lighters and lit cigarettes. But no. They want the non-existent gold bars or bonds or whatever the hell they were looking for, so they kept on working their way up his legs until they got to his junk. I heard someplace that they were still torturing the guy when his heart just gave up and gave out on them. But still, they didn't want to leave empty-handed. So these two animals then took the keys to his truck and drove around trying to sell the thing in Reading. They didn't even drive to the next town over to throw the cops off their scent. And so a few hours after we spoke to the cops, some patrol unit was pulling over my boss's truck and arresting the two pieces of human trash who were in it. The female half of the couple later told the cops that the only reason they went looking for this big score like that was so she and her man could buy each other Valentine's Day gifts. To me, that's the only truly bizarre aspect of this whole thing. Once the people who killed him were arrested, they told the cops everything, down to the dumbest little details like that. I've heard that's like a thing with these meth heads, that they're prone to spill their guts to cops and stuff when other drug users can actually keep quiet and actually dodge charges. I don't know how true it is, but it seemed to have applied in their case. But then I've also heard the cops will dangle detox drugs in front of meth and heroin addicts, telling them that their jailhouse withdrawals won't be so bad if they only give up a little info. The point is, All the details came out in the months that followed, and I remember seeing the news about the pair getting sentenced around the holidays of that same year. Both got life in prison. But if you ask me, they should have dug a hole under that goddamn prison and thrown those two animals in there, with no food or water, until they just shriveled up and died. Anything else, in the face of what they did to my friend and my boss, seems like a slap on the wrist. My name is Brian. I'm from Ohio, and I've finally gotten around to typing up a story I've been wanting to share with you for quite some time. During late 2021 and early 2022, I started dating the girl who would later become my fiancé.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
I think a major episode in our dating timeline was around Valentine's Day of 2022. We'd only been talking for around 4 months at that time, so it wasn't a huge occasion for us or anything, but it also constituted a great opportunity to romance her a little. We both had work on Monday, which was the 14th, and that didn't really leave much room for wining and dining. So instead, we made plans to have dinner on the 12th, which was a Saturday night, so we could actually make the most of the occasion. I didn't mention anything about Valentine's Day, although I'm sure the implication was clear. But what I also didn't mention was that I was planning on booking a table at an extremely high-end fine dining establishment. I then went out and bought a whole bunch of her favorite snacks, just about anything she'd mentioned enjoying during our text exchange. I figured a bunch of small, fairly low-key gifts like that would demonstrate that I was a good listener, which, as much as that's kind of a dating cliche, is still super important in a relationship. Anyway, I make all the arrangements, under the pretense of our destination being a surprise, and come the Saturday in question, she's under the impression that we are headed to this Italian place we'd been to once or twice before. Then, all of a sudden, I hit her with the old switcheroo, then take her to our actual destination, which was the fine dining place where I'd booked us a tasting menu. I'd never been to any place like that before, so I was actually super excited to try all the fancy food that was on the tasting menu. Even arriving at the restaurant and having the European waiting staff take our coats and escort us to our table, I could totally see why people pay for that kind of experience. It's not just all about the food. It's about the atmosphere and the service coming together to create truly special memories. And you can bet your bottom dollar that me and my future fiancé got a special memory of that night. It just wasn't the one we expected to have. So I think we're on our fourth course of 18, having a great time, when the maitre d' seats another couple at the next table over. They look to be doing the same thing as us, having their early Valentine's dinner, only around 10 to 15 minutes after they sit down. The mood at their table became far from romantic, though. It started with a few sort of rude comments, things that made me and my future fiancé look up at each other with a sort of awkward kind of expression. But as the minutes ticked on by, things started to get worse and worse. They kept the volume down at first, but things got pretty vicious real quickly, to the point where one of the waiters came over to try and calm the situation down. It worked for like a minute, then the guy said something under his breath to the girl, and she stormed out of the restaurant. By that point, pretty much everyone in the restaurant was either aware of the tension in the room or was actively watching it unfold from their side eye. I'd seen plenty of public freakouts, just never anything in anywhere so fancy, so as much as I was kind of annoyed that they were ruining our experience, my future fiancé didn't seem all that disappointed. She wasn't strictly enjoying it, she just tried to look on the bright side and made me smile when she whispered, "Dinner and a show. You are treating me this evening." I think that's one of those moments that I knew that she was the one. When she knew how upset I'd be if I thought some total idiots had ruined our special evening and chose to brush it off like it was nothing. She was just as disappointed as I was. She just knew how much it would mean to me if she'd failed to show it. Anyway, after the girl stormed out of the restaurant, the guy stayed seated for a minute or two and then followed his girl outside. We figured that was the end of the show, but no. A few minutes later, the couple walked back into the dining room by the maitre d' and then receded. It was actually almost comical, seeing everyone in the dining room trying to contain their disappointment at seeing these weirdos return. But I remember just genuinely hoping they'd smooth over whatever they were fighting about. I was dating seriously for the first time in my life, like actively looking for someone to settle down with, so seeing the marital discord that I feared being played out right there in front of me, it gave me this totally different kind of negative feeling when they started bickering for a second time. I honestly thought that's how the whole evening was going to go. This sort of toxic couple were going to poison the atmosphere completely, not having the good manners to argue elsewhere instead of in front of an entire dining room. But that's not what happened. All of a sudden, the girl gets up again, just like she did when she stormed out just a few minutes before. But then instead of just walking out of the restaurant, she stops, turns around, and takes off one of her high heels. The guy that she's with isn't looking at all. He's doing that thing of refusing to look back as she's walking away. Maybe out of pride, or maybe because he was looking at the menu, I don't know. But either way, he's about the only person in the dining room who doesn't see his girlfriend or wife or whatever pulling off one of her high heels, then taking hold of it like some weapon. By the time we all realized what she was planning, it was too late for anyone to do anything. The girl swung that shoe right at the guy's head, so the heel connected full force with his skull. And the sound that it made was nuts, way more muted and dulled than I had expected, not a crack or a crunch at all. And then, instead of collapsing onto the table in front of him or just falling limp out of his chair, the guy just goes rigid. He almost propelled himself out of his chair, sending all kinds of glasses flying off the table in the process. Then, when he hit the floor, he started shaking and convulsing like he was having some kind of seizure. People started jumping into action, restraining the girl and rushing over to the guy, who by that point was bleeding all over the floor too, and my future fiancé was one of them. She was a registered nurse, and she knew exactly what to do, or rather, exactly what not to do when it came to the appropriate medical treatment. She told the waiters to drag the table away so nothing else could fall onto the guy, and she took my jacket to cushion his head. After that, she basically just stayed with the guy until he stopped having this seizure and the EMTs arrived to take him to the hospital. I don't know what happened to the girl. I didn't see her getting arrested or anything, and although people intervened to keep her from hitting the guy a second time, I don't think anyone tried to force her to stay. Probably because they were just scared that she'd hit them with the sharp end of that high heel shoe as well. And since the very horrifying effects were on display for all to see, I sort of understand why no one thought to just tackle her, or whatever. It was scary, legitimately frightening to see both the sudden escalation of violence and the effect that it had on the guy. It really drove the point home to me that real-life violence is much, much different to the kind that we're used to seeing on movies or TV. A few years ago, I met this guy on Tinder that I really liked, and we eventually went on a few dates together. We were talking for weeks, and our first date was nice, but then our second date fell almost exactly on Valentine's Day. And if I'm being honest, I was pretty excited about it. I just had no idea how things were about to take a pretty drastic turn. During the time we were talking, there were a lot of little red flags. He would tell me he drank too much, but I was a lot younger and naive back then, and tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. We were in our early 20s, so I figured he just liked to party and it wasn't a problem. But what he didn't mention was the very specific effect that alcohol had on him. So on the night of our date, we were in a bar getting drinks and stuff, and he pulls out his phone, very rudely, I might say, in the middle of a conversation. I asked him what was so important, and he tells me something like, "I'm trying to find us a way out of here." As you can imagine, I respond by saying, "You're doing what?" Thinking that it might have been like a joke or something. But no. He was deadly serious and started telling me how the security guards for the bar were, and I'm using his words here, after him. So I'm like, okay, let's go back to my car so maybe we can just go somewhere else, naively believing that he genuinely had beef with one or two of them. My car was parked pretty far away. I was staying pretty sober at that point because we had gone to multiple locations that night, so it took us a few minutes to walk there, but in that time, my date gets it into his head that multiple people are after him. I'm talking like random people on the street. Then once we're in a part of downtown that wasn't so busy, he started to think that I was out to get him too. I was trying to call his friend who was nearby to come get him, but he took my phone away from me because he thought I was calling the cops. Then when I demanded that he return it, he started physically threatening me. I got so scared because I thought, if he hurts me here and leaves me here, nobody's gonna find me until morning, and it was really cold out. His friend eventually came and got him, and I left. Once I was safe, I was jittery all night from the anxiety, having been in rocky relationships in the past. I told him about it the next morning, and he didn't remember any of it, so I broke things off shortly after because I just did not have the time or energy to be dealing with anything like that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym games on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I feel like if I'd have carried on dating him, it'd only be a matter of time before he turned on me. Physically, I mean, and then it wouldn't be so easy to just walk away. Not that I wouldn't be able to. He just struck me as the kind of guy who wouldn't let me leave. And I have far too much self-respect to get stuck in a situation like that.
Our official merch store is finally here. If you want to support more of our channel, check out our merch shop. The link is in the description down below. See you on the next video.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.